God's Word we go, but before we do, we seek His favor upon it. So let's ask for that in prayer. Our God and Heavenly Father, we again ask Your care upon us. We come repeatedly, and we are glad that You do not turn a blind eye to us or a deaf ear. We pray that You will hear us for Jesus' sake again as we ask that Your Spirit, who inspired His Word, may will find His place in our hearts and in this hour so that we might receive not only Your Word as those who hear it, but who embrace it and receive it, that we might have ears to hear. May Your Spirit be so at work in us, so You might be exalted in this place and in our lives. For the sake of Jesus our Lord, we do pray. Amen. We're going to go back in the Psalms to Psalm 20. We read from Psalm 86 earlier in our worship service, but we're going to go back to Psalm 20 as our scripture reading for tonight in the ministry of the Word. And we're using that psalm as we're recognizing again that all of God's Word holds together. God never speaks out of both sides of His mouth. His Word is trustworthy. And we're using that Word then to as part of the light and the harmony that we use to understand the third commandment all the better. And we're looking at Lord's Day 36 tonight, where we're looking at the calling there to understand God's will for us in the third commandment. And this, of course, is in that gratitude section of the catechism. It reminds us that as we're looking at these things and called to obedience, we're called to gratitude in light of God's Word, in light of His law. And so we've looked at the first and second commandment to that end already, and now we're looking at the third commandment tonight. But we're going to start out our reading from Psalm 20 then, from the Word of God. And then we'll notice here too, as we even heard in Psalm 86, and as we sang in Psalm 148, many references to the name of the God of Jacob, the God of the Scriptures. So we look at Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. In the name of the God of Jacob, protect you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May He remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt offerings. May He grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation, and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving might of His right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the King. May He answer us when we call. And after having read from God's Word, we read from page 50 in the back of the blue hymnal, questions 99 and 100 on Lord's Day 36 and on the third commandment. The question gets asked, what is God's will for us in the third commandment? And the answer is that we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths, nor share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. In a word, it requires that we use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe, so that we may properly confess Him, pray to Him, and praise Him in everything we do and say. Question 100 asks, is blasphemy of God's name by swearing and cursing really such serious sin that God is angry also with those who do not do all they can to help prevent it and to forbid it? Yes, indeed. No sin is greater. No sin makes God more angry than blaspheming His name. And that's why He's commanded the death penalty for it. Thank the Lord for His Word. May it be, and the truth of His Word may be a blessing for us to receive it in ministry tonight as well. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's quite remarkable how important that our names are to us. The especially maybe in a day and age where sometimes we're afraid that it isn't our name that's so important, but our number. Because people are asking us for our number, whatever that number might be. It might be a social security number, or the number might be a number of an account, or it could be a, you know, also the number is 012461. This happens to be my birthday, but that's the number sometimes people want to hear first. You call the hospital and you tell them everything and they say, that's all very nice. What's your birthday? What's your number? But our names are important to us. Even though we might talk about doctors and looking, feeling like a number sometimes, I find oftentimes that I'm so thankful for them and things that they've done for me. When we go, oftentimes what ends up happening is, you know, we need to fill out a form. A lot of times that has to happen, and the first thing we fill out on the form is not, it's not a number, but it's our name. Not surprising. That's our identifying point. We call somebody on the phone, and if we just start talking to somebody who doesn't know us very well, sooner or later they can say, who are you anyway? I'm hearing what you want, but I don't know who you are. So it's good for us to identify who we are when we call. Because otherwise, how will they know who's talking to them? One of the first things that we learn to write, spell when we're little boys and girls is our name. And it's fun to see that develop with our children and our grandchildren. We know the wisdom of maintaining a good name, a good reputation that way. And a good reputation and a good name are considered trustworthy then when we speak a word or when we do business with someone else. Because when they hear our name, they may say, oh yeah, well we can trust him. We know him. His word means something. His name is reputable. Their name speaks volumes about who that person truly is. It represents them. The third person or the third commandment calls us not to take the name of the Lord and God, the Lord our God, in vain. The Lord's name is a good name. And it's a good name for many reasons, but it can be summed by saying that God's name is good because God is good. There's none like Him, no one more substantial, none holy like Him, none powerful as He, none whose word is good like His, none who loves as He does. In God there is no other Savior, we know not one. And we see that most clearly revealed in Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven by which we will be saved, and the one who has been given the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Nothing then is trivial, empty, or vain about the name of God. We can find no reason for His name to be treated in any way other than reverence and awe, like our catechism says, at any time. His name is worthy to be exalted, and to be exalted in positive and grateful ways, as we find that this is part of that gratitude section of the catechism. But He's to be exalted, for God is so worthy of that. So tonight we focus our attention on the calling that is given to us to gratefully exalt the name of the Lord. And we'll view that commandment as it's presented to us, first of all, from a negative point of view. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. But then we'll also look at it from a positive point of view. The commandment speaks in a what we might call a negative manner when it says that we are not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. That is, We are not to take the name of the Lord lightly or use His name flippantly, because His name is worthy of exalted usage. We're reminded that when it comes to our walk with the Lord in light of His grace, we all have a calling to put off what's old and put on what's new. That's kind of the tone that's set when we look into the catechism. It's inspired by, in that sense, using that word carefully, but it's inspired that from what the scriptures themselves tell us, that we're supposed to be putting off what is old and dealing with that negative element to which the commandment speaks explicitly. What should we be removing from our lives so that the name of the Lord will not be treated lightly? Well, in the obvious place to go, first of all, when you're thinking about, well, where should I go to think about what needs to be removed from my life so that the name of the Lord will not be treated lightly? The first place we would typically go is to go to our tongues. You know, the church has understood that to be so over the years when it calls us not to be cursing. In other words, to see to it and pray that one's language is sanctified, it's cleansed, it's purified. You know, speaking curses and speaking in vulgar ways, for that matter, are often seen in our society, as you know, as a means of showing how tough you are and how big you are. And how nobody better mess with me because I speak with vulgarity. And if I'm angry, I'm going to really show you how tough I am by the amount of vulgarity that I'm going to show. But when you examine it closer, when you examine vulgarity closer, we often see that such vulgarity and such cursing is actually very self-belittling. Even when people don't realize it. You know, much vulgarity when you hear it, and it's everywhere. You get more exposure to it, it seems, too, when, since, you know, we can see it, we can hear it in so many different media. Much vulgarity is used as this catch-all for everything one wishes to describe. Vulgarity becomes the way in which we use adjectives. We just slip in a vulgar word before we talk about something. And that's the way in which we seek to emphasize something or stress something. Sin by its very nature has self-deception as its byproduct. And it's no less so in vulgarity. Often when people are being vulgar and they're cursing, that habitual use of vulgarity, and you know that there's people that oftentimes, it's like, you know, whether you're going to do something good or you're going to do something bad, you know, habits become such that sometimes you don't even realize you do that. I mean, I have that sometimes when I'm, you know, in the pulpit. People see me all the time and they say, you know, you always do this all the time. I said, really? I didn't even know I did that. Well, sometimes that can be so for the good, sometimes for the bad. But certainly with vulgarity that's being used habitually, it can show how people have lost their ability to communicate well. They don't even know it sometimes in one sense. Because what they do, instead of using words that could actually describe what it is they're trying to express, they fill the blanks with vulgarity. We've been called by the Lord to speak in such a way that brings glory to His name. If we seek to communicate well, as we speak the truth in love, as we measure our words, you know, so that we are quick to listen and we're slow to speak and slow to become angry, that in our anger we do not sin. Now, often the use of vulgarity and the curse is indicative of a self-deceived heart. And because it's contending to be something, to be somebody. But it defeats itself because what happens is that instead of contending to be something, it shows the inability to communicate in any way that resembles the purity of God's Word. A Word that creates, a Word that upholds, a Word that builds up, a Word that redeems, a Word that renews, a Word that communicates. Such a heart is not interested in building up God's name, but its own name. But the irony of it all is that when it takes this vulgar route, it's not self-exalting, it's self-belittling. It's a self-belittling strategy, self-defeating. We're also called not to swear lightly or unnecessarily, not to take unnecessary oaths. And we will speak more about that as we look at Lord's Day 37. But certainly one of the callings here for us is to be more and more a people whose word can be trusted without the use of oaths. Now, it simply isn't necessary for people to be saying as often as heard, well, and pardon me with this, but I swear to God that this and this happened. Or I swear that I'm never going to do that again. Well, why do you need to swear? Just say you won't do it. Why do we have to use God's name so often and so flippantly to reveal to people that they can trust what we say? Like Jesus would say, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else is of the evil one. If you're someone who has been graciously impacted by the truth of God, and you know the presence of God in your life and the presence of God as you live, then your word should be what people should in increasing fashion be able to trust without spending time swearing in God's name to confirm it. Now, we must give oaths at important times of life, but when we do, we need to be quite aware that those kinds of implications need to be done in reverent tone, and to see that we have made some very important statements that shouldn't be taken lightly, because God's name ends up being taken lightly along with it. We see them at times of professions of faith. We see them at marriages. We see them when we're bringing children to baptism. We see this happen at the time that we're to testify in court. Those aren't times that be taken lightly. Those aren't ordinary times. Those aren't mere formalities or means to an end. They're dealing with matters that are not just important to society and its orderly development and maintenance, not just addressing the sanctity of the covenant home, but they also are speaking to the honor of God, whose name, in essence, has been invoked. And those oaths are so often used because they are special times when they're used. But when those oaths are invoked, we need to see the dishonor we bring to the name of God when we lightly invoke His name. Not to mention the dishonor that we have brought to our families, to ourselves, to our name, when we haven't carried out what we swore to uphold. We're not to make light of those times, especially when we've invoked the weighty name of the Lord in the process. One of the challenging things for us when we do hear others who use God's name in vain so lightly and how easily it's so easy to stand idly by and not say anything about it. Right? The reason, of course, is because we don't want others to think badly about our name. Ironically, we're more concerned about what will happen to our name than we are about what will happen to God's name. And yet it's a God-honoring thing to defend His honor when His name is dishonored. We need to pray for courage, and we need to pray for a progress in sanctification so that we will fear men less and fear God's name more. All the more. So from a positive standpoint, we look at this then from a negative standpoint, but there's also the positive standpoint, and we can see the calling of exalting the name of the Lord in many respects, and our passage helps us in that regard. In our passage, we find the name of the Lord highly valued prayerfully, liturgically, confessionally. Prayerfully, we see, may the name of the God of Jacob protect you. Describing the power of God. Liturgically, we hear, may there be this time of celebration for the victory won by the King, the Anointed One, in the power of the Lord, so that in that celebration that we enjoy, the name of the Lord might be exalted as banners of victory are raised. And then confessionally, following the liturgical and prayerful references is the basis for which such petitions go out in the first place. While the world puts their trust in the power of created things and technology, believers trust the Creator at all things and the Savior of His people. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We can see ourselves in the fulfillment of this psalm when we're in Christ. When we think about it, Jesus is the one who has come in the name of the Lord to save His people and rule His church in this world. And because He has accomplished this in the name of the Lord, we are a people who have every reason to give thanks to Him in joyful and thankful worship every time that we have the opportunity to do that. We don't have to think that the confession of a people or a psalmist 3,000 years ago is disconnected from us, so that this confession doesn't apply to us. Especially since none of us trust in chariots. When we've come to know the victory of Jesus Christ in our lives, we're standing on firm ground when we're standing in the place where our trust is not in our own strength or our own name, but when our trust is in the name that's above every name. Jesus Christ, along with the Father and Holy Spirit, the one only God. Because we're all tempted to put our alliance in some chariot. To put it somewhere else. And negatively speaking, if you allow me to go back to that first point of the passage, we're all tempted to make life about promoting me, you, somebody, something else. But especially our own name. And to be waving in the crowd, you know, calling people, look at me, look how good looking I am, how strong I am, look how good I am, and to do that at the expense of others' names. Spirit of Babel again, you know, where we say that, we're looking out to make a name for ourselves. But especially at the expense of the name that's above all names. To steal His glory. To find our rest in our name and not His. Our calling here is not, what can I give to contribute to my name? When you're looking at a passage like this. But it's talking to us about what is it that I can contribute to the exaltation of God's name. Not to serve myself, but to serve my God. It's not just about not cursing. It's about speaking a good word. It's about extolling the name of the Lord when you're given the opportunity to do that. We really don't have a name at all, after all, if we don't identify with the name Christ. Only in knowing His salvation and only in promoting God's name will your own name be preserved and stand well anywhere. The third commandment is also about making your profession of faith in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's about praying in the name of Jesus in adoration, confession of sin, thanksgiving, supplication. These are things that we find coming through here also in the psalm. About confession, about praising Him. It's about taking joy in being here and thankful for the name of the Lord when the call to worship comes to us. Like it did in the morning, as it does tonight. But it's also not forgetting that throughout the week and throughout the year and throughout your life, you can depend on the name of the Lord like nothing and no one else. It's also about not forgetting that in everything you're doing, as the Catechism says, at school and with your friends and with your family, when people you know see you and when they do not, you're called to honor the name of the Lord for Jesus' sake, not just in what you say, but what you do. And that's all in the essence of the third commandment as well. No other name is worthy of that attention and that kind of attention. Now, yes, others put their trust in what they have or who they are or how they look. Are you one of those? I hope not. You know, those kind of people are in trouble because as we look at a psalm like this one, we see there's no victory there. There's no honor there. There's no hope there. There's nothing dependable there. The wish for such is that the name of the God of Jacob would protect them, as this was a prayer that went out to the Anointed One who ultimately became Jesus Christ Himself. In the name of our God, set up our banners. May we shout for joy over your salvation. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Christ is the one that's seen that happen ultimately, and we rejoice in that and rejoice in that name that in which that's been done. We do so prayerfully. We do so confessionally. Liturgically, we do so confessionally. And we do that because we find that that's where the victory is found. We all need to have our trust in the name of the Lord as the one we call our own in Jesus Christ. And that's the only way to approach every day that you have with confidence and the hope you need to face whatever it is that God has in store for you. And that's why whether we're talking about other people or whether we're talking about ourselves, it should be indeed our desire and our desire for others of that when it comes to the name of the Lord, we're going to exalt it. We're going to pray in the name of the Lord. We're going to seek to exalt that name wherever we can. And the last thing that we want to do is to do whatever we do to dishonor it or to have it dishonored by others. Because the good news for us, that we find in the gospel time and time again, is that life and its and the victories that we can know in it are not because we find ourselves making a name for ourselves. What people should be seeing as we're walking down life's pathway is that's not a person that's trying to make a name for himself. That's a person. Actually, that I should ought to be like that person because what I see in that person is a person that is seeking in all things and in every way to exalt the name of God. What a blessing for us when we think about that in our own lives, that we want to be a people, that we want to be a person who wants to take that third commandment and gratefully apply it to our lives so that not only do I not curse, not only do I not be vulgar, not only am I somebody who's dependable in my name, but that what people will see with me is that I'm a person who is seeking in everything that I'm doing, not to exalt my name, but to exalt the name of my God. Because that's why God put me on this planet to begin with. That's why He changed me in Christ. And that's what I'll be doing for eternity when Christ, the one who deserves the adulations of everyone with the name that is above every name, that's what we're going to be doing when Christ returns on the clouds of glory. So may God help us all the more and in every day, in light of His grace, to exalt the great name of our God in accordance with the third commandment of the law of God. Amen. Let's take a moment to pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we're grateful that Your Word is that lamp to our feet and our light to our path. We know that there are those times that truly, Lord, as we fight the good fight of faith, as we battle our flesh, that we can be more concerned about our own name in various ways, in our own skin, than we are the exaltation of Your name. And we pray, Lord, that You would pardon us for those times when it's our own name, our own glory, it's our own, in a selfish way, Lord, our own reputation that we care about. We pray instead, Lord, that You will help us to show forth in what we say, in what we do, in our prayers, in our praise, in our profession. So much so, Lord, that the light that will shine forth in us is a light that, whether it's our children seeing us, whether it's our grandchildren seeing us, whether it's our parents seeing us, whether it is our friends, whether it is perfect strangers, that what people will see is not somebody who's just looking after his own name, but that what people will see is that what's most important to us is the exalted name of our God and how we exalt Him in praise and practice and prayer and profession. May we find ourselves then, dear Father, being more and more like our Savior, who indeed has the name that is above every name, whose name is reputable, whose name is one on which we can depend, so that we could say in a Christian manner that in our day and age too, that while some might trust in chariots and some might trust in horses, we trust in the name of our God through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.